The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Thomas Brown's first game as Bears interim head coach.
Classes in session, you're about to get your ass kicked.
Touchdown, Jawan Jennings.
You couldn't ask for a better start for the 49ers offense.
I'll start with what I kind of addressed with the team. We got our butts kicked.
Oh, I hate this race.
Then quit. If you're that unhappy, you should leave.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
First and goal. Garendo. He's in. Touchdown.
Thomas, how do you get your brain around the slow starts and how consistent they've been this season?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, if I had the answer, I would have already fixed it.
First and goal into the end zone. Garendo, his second touchdown today.
Yeah, we got, I don't know if Thomas said like this, but we got our ass kicked today. We played a really good football team, and they kicked our butts. And there's no way around it.
There's Taylor up the middle. Touchdown, Patrick Taylor. 38-13 lead. What a game for Brock Purdy and the 49ers.
This will be the most coveted job in the National Football League this year.
In terms of Thomas Brown, I'm excited for him. I believe he has the traits to lead not only our team, but as well as our offense.
All due respect, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, I'm going to pass.
I don't believe this.
Why? Every guy who ran that crew died prematurely.
Oh, come on. No, you don't want the job, you don't want the job.
As we know, Pat and Mully, watching the film, studying them all year, as we know, this team, your only problem wasn't Coach Eberflus.
Yeah, I would say no.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
We appreciate you hanging us out with us here today. We know that it's not great when it comes to what's going on with the Bears. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank. That man is Matt Spiegel.
There's a lot of bad football and bad football teams in the NFL, and we've got a bad football team here, and it sucks to realize this reality anew. The coach is gone, and the players seem to play worse with the coach gone. I still support the idea of the coach gone. If he was here, then maybe they could have rallied to get down by one, and then he would have blown something on a last-minute field goal somehow, and they would have lost the game. But they didn't even get to that because he was probably a pretty damn good defensive coach, actually. But
hey, breaking Bears news, Thomas Brown has been fired.
He has not been fired yet.
Finally!
Don't worry, though.
It was overdue.
Breaking Bears news, Thomas Brown has been fired.
God.
There are a lot of people in this city, and I won't name who've been telling you for a while that that guy's the next head coach of the Chicago Bears, and they're all morons. We've let it go on for far too long. It happened on the morning show. It happened on the midday show. It happened down the dial or up the dial, however you want to say it, but it didn't happen on this show, and I'm proud of that.
Oh, my God.
I look forward to dinner.
What are you having?
The bet was Thomas Brown will be the next head coach from Shane. And I saw the handshake.
I did not say that.
Yeah, you're buying, Shane. I mean, of course I'll buy, because as is tradition.
No, I said I was getting donuts for the entire Indianapolis Colts team. I said nothing about...
What?
I said nothing about dinner with Lawrence, the host.
Man, I got so many choices in the
city. You really do. Make him pay, man.
Joe Flam's opening his new restaurant this week.
No, we're not doing that. No, we're not going
to
reach out.
To get a deal?
We're not reaching out to friends of the program, my man. No.
You been to Alinea? You been there?
I have.
Yeah. Where?
Alinea. Or Alinea. It's fine. It's not really my thing. I would also like to enjoy the meal and not have to think too much.
Mm.
And I feel like when you go there, you got
to
think.
Yeah, you don't want a pillow that slowly is releasing lavender into the air.
To I do like lavender.
Complete the idea.
But right, Alinea is the place where they do special cool things for you, right? Like Eberflus could come out himself and serve the meal if that's what you wanted.
Yeah, you could do that.
I got confirmation yesterday that he's on vacation. He has indeed left town. Per Wani's advice, Matt Eberflus left town, went somewhere beautiful, and it was not in town for that game.
He's at Wani's house in Naples.
I wonder if he was watching. I wonder if the Flus was watching. He and Shane Waldron watching, high-fiving each other. It's grim, Lawrence. It's a grim time in our lives, sir. Don't you think?
In our football lives, yes, I do think that it's grim, and it's really grim when you see the team play like that after you make this change.
Mm-hmm.
It's upsetting.
It exposes everything. It's dispiriting. It exposes everything, brings everything up for conversation, the players, the locker room, and the boss. And you've got weak leadership in Ryan Poles now. In terms of the way it looks nationally, you've got a guy who had to fire his coach and then was essentially a potted plant. As I think Mully phrased it this morning, looked like a scolded child there as the father, Kevin Warren, gave the press conference. So that is just a part of it.
Well, hold on a second. I'm not the biggest Poles fan. But to be fair to Ryan Poles,
mm-hmm.
could we interpret what was happening with him being just disappointment and rage that it came to this, and maybe not him like the idea of doing a babality on him and making it him looking like the scolded child?
Okay.
Is it possible that you saw a frustrated man who didn't know how to share his frustration?
Well,
and didn't know how to, as my mother would say, fix your face.
Understood. All right. So let's say we grant that. I disagree, but let me go ahead and grant that. What you still end up with is a clear idea of who the boss is in Kevin Warren, even though he says that Ryan Poles will make the hire. He's also saying, but we'll talk about it, and I don't think it'll get to that. And if this team keeps looking bad like this, then that perceived security, that perceived superiority of Ryan Poles over the entire football thing only gets weaker. It only gets weaker as the weeks go on. That's why yesterday's effort matters in the perception of Ryan Poles' power. And if you've got a weak GM, then all of a sudden, as a head coach being interviewed, if you're Mike Vrabel, your ask changes. Your perception of the job. If you're Ben Johnson, your perception of interviewing here or somewhere with a strong GM or a non-existent GM that you can partially name. All of a sudden, it gets murkier to try and get a great head coaching candidate if your GM looks a bit neutered, in my opinion. And either way, the team plays like ass, and that part is unquestioned.
What's hilarious to me about all of this is that it's another example of the Bears expecting Caleb to fix everything. Your job has to be attractive only because you've got Caleb. That's the only thing that you've got to present to a head coaching candidate. Well, we've got this really talented rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. What else you got? We have
the city.
That.
We have a vaunted history, but the vaunted history, man, it is ancient. It is ancient. You have to go back to 2005, 2006 to find consecutive winning seasons for this franchise. 05 and 06. To find three in a row, you got to go back to 84 through 88 to find three consecutive non-losing seasons. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers have never had a losing season. Never. The Chiefs are just won 12 games for what, the fourth time in 9 years?
And they keep winning one score games, which is amazing.
Nine straight divisions. They've won nine straight divisions. You haven't had three consecutive non-losing seasons since the 80s. What kind of history and tradition are you actually pointing at?
And
so to have a weak GM on top of that, man, you got very little in terms of what you're selling.
And Texter says, wasn't Poles handed Eberflus? According to Poles,
no.
He was not.
That is a fallacy.
And he also chose him again. Like, that's the other part of this. Even if you want to give him the out of that wasn't his guy, even though it was.
It was his guy.
For whatever the reason is that was his guy. He had a chance at the end of this thing to not have him be his guy, and he chose to stay with him.
Yes.
He's got to wear it. Don't try to give him an out on Eberflus. That's his man's, and his man's got fired, and he should be following him.
Yeah, there's a lot of stretching to do that. I reported, Wani just said it as an aside again on Thursday, Poles chose Eberflus. Dan Quinn was the leader of the three guys that they had, and then Poles said, no, Eberflus is my guy, and that's going to be my guy for whatever reasons, Trace Armstrong and previous relationship, whatever. But there's that, and then there's, in the offseason, 100% Poles chose the Flus, and even during this year, as recently as after the game on Thanksgiving, there's people out there saying, nah, this was McCaskey's who forced this on Poles, forced the firing on Poles. No, I don't think we can assume anything like that.
All I know is that your hiring practice gave you Matt Eberflus. It gave you two coaches who had to be fired. It gave you Shane Waldron. Like, that's enough for me to see that perhaps he doesn't have the greatest, bring that word up again, rubric for when it comes to picking coaches.
Ruben's pretty good at the cube. The rubric guy made a cube. Ruben can do it. I think 41 seconds is his fastest solve.
Really?
Yeah.
Full cube?
Yeah.
Not like the little, because they do like the 4x4? Yeah.
Yeah, no. He's a full cube.
See Matt Spiegel's son, yeah. Ruben over there.
Yeah, he's got to get to work on the cube. But yeah, you know, Luke Getsy.
And gleaming the cube.
Oh.
That's for the older part of the demo.
David Williams.
I shouldn't have said that.
That's his name? David Williams? I forget him.
Alan Williams.
Yes, he's
David,
one of the...
David Walker, right?
David Walker. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, he's one of the coaches that got fired.
I combined the leave and disgrace guys. I put them together.
Yeah.
Just for efficiency, Tanny. We got a lot to do today.
It's true, including us talking about what the hell was that game plan yesterday on defense? Kyle Shanahan licking his chops, looking at the choices that were made and weren't made. Damn it, let's talk about it. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Tim Ryan.
We've been spending a lot of time talking about Mike Florio throwing the rumor out there of Kyle Shanahan being traded to the Bears, and would that be something that could happen? Can you please just stop that and squash it for us now so all of us in Chicago can stop talking about it?
Please, Tim, please.
Yeah, Florio's out of his damn mind. Come on, man. No way. Kyle's going nowhere, so get that out of your heads.
He looked ready to coach against the Bears yesterday, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, man. He's really, really good. There's a ton of things to talk about after that Bears debacle in San Francisco and bigger picture issues. We've got Kurt Warner at the top of the hour to talk Caleb and the quarterbacking part of it. Mark Grody with the latest from Hallis Hall at 4, and then Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock, which should be interesting as it always is, but... You know
what bothered you about what you saw defensively yesterday, Speaks?
I think Matt Eberflus was probably the best X's and O's football coach on this staff. He was really bad as a head coach, and he had to go. But he was the defensive coordinator and the game planner, and we've seen a lot of second halves where the defense plays better and the offense plays better. And actually, the offense did play better in the second half yesterday. But that... What they did going against Kyle Shanahan and the Niners, he is a master, and we've known this. at using play action and misdirection to draw the attention of, like, the second level guys, the linebackers, the nickel, the strong safety if he's up there, you know? He's a master at drawing their attention, either with real running game or fake running game. And the second level was wide open that entire first half, every single drive. George Kittle with no one around them. This team doesn't have Brandon Ayuk, who is their fastest and their best wide receiver. Debo Samuel's a badass. And Juwan Jennings is a really solid vet who's probably been undervalued through the years, knows what he's doing. But my God, you don't have to freak out about deep as much as some of those guys are worrying about deep. And this team is on an RB4, the fourth running back. But they're freaking out at the possibility of anything with play action and misdirection. And Kittle was just wide open. He kept confusing the second-level defenders and creating space. Here's what Kyle Juszczyk, the 49ers fullback, said after the game. Quote, "We felt like they have very reactive linebackers. Mm-hmm. And we felt like a misdirection could help us out in the run game and get them going laterally." That's Kyle Juszczyk and Brad Biggs' 10 thoughts as Biggsy went across and talked to them. And the middle of that field was wide open time after time after time.
It was a very kind way of saying we can get their linebackers to bite up. It's very kind.
And they did get them to bite up. And part of you understands it. If you're the linebackers and the nickel and you're Kyler and you're everybody with the Bears, because you know that your defensive line can't do a damn thing on its own. You know that your defensive line is bad. And that's where this thing traces back to Poles and needing to be coached up brilliantly, because that D-line is bad. Poles should be questioned on the D-line building philosophies. Austin Booker, to this point of his rookie year, looks like a whiff. Jervon Dexter, hurt yesterday, has been worse towards the end of the year than he was at the beginning of the year.
Zach Pickens.
Where is Zach Pickens? You fell into Big Bill, who is your best defensive lineman, including Montez Sweat.
Montez has not been good.
But he's
probably injured.
He also whiffed on a sack yesterday. I don't understand how you whiff on that sack, and neither did he. But my God, you can't expect this D-line to do anything on its own. So all the linebackers and everybody is just being so aggressive trying to stop the run. And I get it. They got beat with the run the last 2 weeks. So here goes San Francisco, and they end up with decent running stats because they got them that way, too. They did whatever the hell they wanted. Kyle Shanahan is great, and I don't know what an Eric Washington defense is. I don't know what his defensive philosophy is. Do you?
Well, did it scare you on Friday when people were asking questions of Eric Washington and wanted to get a sense of what his style was as a defensive coordinator? And then he said this.
What does an Eric Washington style defense look like when it's working at its most efficient level?
Well, it's going to be accentuated, and it's going to be led by our players. It's going to be led by their awareness, their physicality, their speed, their violence, and just making sure that there's clarity. It can't be any ambiguity on defense and then go out and make the kind of plays and play with the assertiveness that we want to play with. And so I want to start with that. I also want to make sure that we know who we are. The number one reason that people fail is you don't know who you are. I want to make sure from the front to back, every single person in that room, including the coaches, we know exactly what our identity consists of. And that whatever we decide to do, it's in the best interest of the talent that we have on the football field.
All right,
a dominant defense from cover to cover.
Yeah, there was nothing in there in terms of philosophy and like what you're actually trying to do. Maybe he doesn't want to give it up. Maybe he doesn't want to give it up, but
his defense in the first half couldn't have looked worse if he would have given up their strategy on what it is that they were trying to do.
Everybody said, even the guys doing the game were really bad in a lot of ways, and after the analysis, way too damn vanilla. That you can't be that vanilla against Kyle Shanahan because he will then just pick you apart.
Yeah, he saw mismatches. We saw Jack Sanborn in coverage. The other thing is, like, the other point about not having to cheat up, another factor that you didn't list.
Yo,
Brock Purdy missed because his arm isn't as strong as other quarterbacks. Like,
there were at least two long plays that should have been touchdowns had he actually had the arm strength to put the ball on a running target.
Yeah, Garendo beating Sanborn on the one play.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, like, there, that's another thing where you, if you're putting together the defense of the team, maybe you don't have to be afraid to let someone get behind you, because you might have time to go get the ball, because it's going to be lollipopped in the air as compared to other NFL quarterbacks.
You said it in the group chat, and I thought of it as I was thinking about the game. Olin told us on Friday how good that Matt Eberflus actually was at something, which came to roost in that game.
Like you guys, like everybody, we're cheering for Thomas Brown, right? You cheer for a guy who gets his shot. But, man, to get your shot, and they come at all different times, and I know you got to be ready. But, man, well, what a hard thing to take this team to San Francisco, trying to get them moving in the right direction. And you could argue, most football people would, that turn off the noise and turn the film on. You would argue they lost their best coach. Right. Coach Eberflus was a good schematic coach on defense. Right. He was very good. Like you see what he did with the Lions, and he held them out of the red zone. Did a nice job there. Matching wits with a guy that everybody thinks is going to get a head coaching job. So now you have a coaching staff who's down two guys. Who's doing their jobs? Hmm. Right. Well, did you hire two extra guys to do other jobs? I don't know. There's so much work to do in NFL building. His challenges he faces to get this team moving in the right direction, man. I'm cheering for him. Hope he does well. But I don't know how well this team is actually going to do down the stretch here. If they do well, I'll be honest with you guys, man, they shock me.
And remember what happened after Olin said that. You and Tanny looked at each other like, ooh, the Bears are not the pick. Like, it shook your confidence in the pick.
Because he's right.
That's why Olin's on this station. That's why he's one of the best at what he does.
Because schematically, Eberflus knew what he was doing. He's a really good defensive coordinator. It's sometimes at calling the defense, and certainly at scheming it up. And, you know, then Wani said it to us, some on air, some off the air as well. But you saw it there. And I know you're a fan of Eric Washington, the way that he talks and the way that he thinks about teaching and the way that he thinks about the players. And I see that. He's clearly good at developing some of that young talent, and that's his calling card. But being a coordinator, being an X's and O's coordinator boss, is a whole nother smoke.
And he got absolutely pantsed. We'll talk about what happened in this game with Kurt Warner. We'll get his thoughts on one of the issues with Caleb Williams. Spiegs is hot on this, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Kurt Warner at Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.